Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to the Motor Mouth podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Sylvie. This is the place where we meet some of the biggest names in and around motorsport, chat about their lives and everything in between.
We've partnered with the Brain Tumor Charity, helping to raise awareness and help find a cure. Thanks to our partnership, we've been able to create a short series of special podcasts uncovering those within the motorsport community who've been affected by these devastating diagnoses. You can hear these stories, including the Williams F1 team's planning director, Richard Jones, right now on your chosen podcast player. The charity work all year round to help develop research and raise awareness, and this October sees the return of the Brain Tumor Charity's most beloved community event, the Twilight Walk. You can join them remotely this autumn to cover 10 kilometers, 40 kilometers, 130 kilometers, or your very own distance to raise money and take strides towards a cure. Moving about is well known for boosting our well-being, and you can complete your walk bit by bit or all in one go as a team or by yourself at home or indoors. So visit www.thetwilightwalk.com to sign up and start your fundraising challenge. A huge thank you for your support. If you can donate anything, you can do that through the motormouth.club website or through the Brain Tumor Charity direct, and together we can help every single person affected by a brain tumor. It's season 9 and we're really excited to be teaming up with Roding Cars. Based in New Zealand but with a new HQ open in Donington Park in the UK, owning the Roding FZ gives you the keys to experience a whole new level of driving performance. A supercar like no other, giving you the chance to feel pure driving pleasure. Designed for easy maintenance, you could own the F1 lifestyle and strive for that perfect lap time with the Roding FZ. There's plenty of purchasing options, including after-sale partners, where your Roding FZ is looked after on and off track by an official Formula Racing team, storage and exclusive track access to Roding's very own circuit in New Zealand. With Roding and the Roding FZ, you experience so much more than just owning an open-wheel high-performance supercar. For more information on Roding and how you can get involved, visit roding-cars.com.
Hello, Tim Sylvie here. Now, our guest today hails from Hastings in New Zealand. And as I'm sure our educated listeners will know, New Zealand is well known for its large agriculture and farming industries. But you perhaps didn't realise quite how big it is. The hotly debated statistic is that there are 9 sheep to 1 person living in New Zealand. That is somewhere in the region of 40 million sheep. But that's not all they have a lot of. They have over 400 golf courses, more per capita than anywhere else in the world. And this one blew my mind. The kiwi fruit is not native to New Zealand, which is actually a massive letdown. It's from China, but was named after the... it was named after the kiwi bird, obviously, for obvious reasons. But the actual fruit is from China. How disappointing is that? But Harry, before we go any further, I'm going to test your New Zealand knowledge with a couple of quickfire questions. Number one, get this wrong at your peril. What is the capital of New Zealand?
What is the capital of New Zealand? Is it Wellington?
Well done.
Yes.
A lot of people get that wrong because they think it's Auckland. What currency?
You know what? That didn't pop into my mind.
Good. What currency is used in New Zealand?
Oh. Is it dollars?
It's dollars. It's New Zealand dollars.
Yeah, it is dollars. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Who was the first European to arrive in New Zealand? And a bonus for his nationality, but I'll give you a clue. His nationality you can see on the current F1 grid.
Okay.
You're not going to get this, are you?
I mean, can I... European... No, I'm not going to try and guess. I've got no idea.
It's a guy called Abel Tasman, and there's an area in New Zealand called Abel Tasman. I've been there. It's amazing. And he was Dutch. Finally...
There's more. Bloody hell.
Last one. Right. When did Captain Cook come to the islands? Were you concentrating in school? No.
Didn't he do Australia as well? 1760 or something.
Are you having a laugh?
No, I don't know. What?
1769.
Oh, you got to give me a point for that.
Fair play. That's a good guess. That is a very good guess.
What a comeback. Like, regular listeners will know that usually when Tim asks me these questions at the start of every show, I absolutely flunk every single one of them. But I'm feeling quite good about this.
That's very good. Well, if you haven't guessed already, our guest is from New Zealand. Shall I introduce him?
I think so.
So today we're joined by Liam Lawson. Liam started in karts in his native New Zealand at Mount Wellington Kart Track in Auckland before winning on debut in Formula First and Formula Ford, where he won 15 of 15 championship races. At 15 years old, he headed to Australia, where he continued the trend by winning on his debut. At 16, he moved to Europe, where he went through ADAC F4, Formula 3, and most recently in Formula 2 with Red Bull backing. His highlight, clearly, though, came when he recently raced in the inaugural Motormouth Charity Karting Cup, which is clearly the best thing he's done in his tender years. But before we introduce him, fun fact, Liam has won on debut in 8 of the 9 single-seater cars he's raced, including Formula 1st, Formula Ford, F4, F3 Asia, Toyota Racing Series in 2 different car categories, the FT50s and FT60s, F3 Dallara and Formula 2, which is quite an interesting statistic. Let's hope he keeps that going. We're here to dive into his life, career, thoughts and opinions. Liam Lawson, welcome to the Motormouth Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Can you believe, did you know about the kiwi thing?
I didn't. I was really surprised when you said that. I thought the kiwi fruit it's kiwi fruit. I thought it was from New Zealand.
Afraid not.
Yeah, surely.
It's all a mockery, all a sham, all a farce. It's not really true.
Isn't it? Honestly. Well, where are you today, Liam? Whereabouts are you joining us from?
I'm in the UK, so I'm in Milton Keynes right now. Just for a day, I leave tomorrow morning to go to Sochi. We are racing Formula 2. So, and honestly, the last 6 or 7 weeks, I've been home about 3 days. So it's very, very busy at the moment, but then I have a bit of time off for October and November.
That'd be nice because it can get super intense, can't it? But I mean, Tim, you've been to New Zealand before and you spent quite a lot of time there. I imagine I've never been, even though my knowledge is amazing. So, yeah. I mean, what's it like? It must have been quite a transition to come back to come over to the UK when you first, made the move.
Yeah, it's something that's my first year actually away. I lived in the Netherlands. So when I did my first year in Europe was German Formula 4, the ADAC F4 that Tim mentioned. So, and that was living in a staff house with the Van Amersfoort racing team that I was racing with. And then basically every year since then I've been living in the UK. So this is my first year living alone. I was living with some family friends over the last couple of years, and then this year decided to live in an apartment by myself and learn to actually look after myself.
Start cooking your own meals. Get off the super noodles. What's your go-to meal? It's tough cooking for yourself.
If I'm honest, I don't actually cook for myself that much. There's plenty of Deliveroo and Uber Eats and things like that. But like I said, I haven't really been home that much. So for sure, when I have the time off for that 2 months, I'm going to have to definitely learn to cook a bit of food for myself.
What's the scene like in New Zealand? I mean, obviously, you've got the Toyota series, which you know very well, and a lot of big names have been through that championship in the sort of traditional winter time here. Has it changed over the years? Is it competitive out there at the moment?
It's really unfortunate right now because of COVID. There's no real series. So last year, they did the series, but only with New Zealand drivers because nobody could come to New Zealand. So it was quite small for what it normally is. And then this year, from what I've heard, they're not going to race. They're just going to do the New Zealand Grand Prix, which is very cool. But again, it'll probably just be New Zealand. Well, it will be just New Zealand drivers. So it's a bit of a shame. But before COVID sort of hit us, it was really, really popular because it was basically run 5 weeks in a row over January, which in New Zealand is summertime, but for the rest of the world, it's obviously, or most of the world, is wintertime. So all the guys, all the Europeans that had just done their season or are normally training for in pre-season, getting ready to race whatever they're going to race in Europe, you could just go to New Zealand's. It was relatively cheap compared to what you'd pay for doing a European series. In a really quick car that's also quite similar to what we'd race. And you get really competitive grids from all over. You get Formula 2 drivers, F3 drivers, F4 drivers, GT drivers from different championships. So it was quite cool.
Proper competitive series, isn't it? I know we're sort of making our way through. I just wanted to go back ever so slightly and go, you know, what was it that got you into motorsport in the first place? Was it a family connection? Did you just sort of watch it on TV and think, I want to be a part of that?
It's really interesting that, because none of my family ever raced before. So it's not like, you know, a lot of the guys I raced against, it was their dad that did motorsport. And, you know, a lot of, especially in go-karts, a lot of the drivers, go-karting becomes very much a dad sport because they almost love it more than the kids sometimes. So, but for me, it was something that as soon as I was born, when I was born, my dad started getting into like V8 supercars quite a bit. He was watching it. He went to a couple of the races, and so I'd always sit and watch the races with him. And he'd watch Formula One and things like that. But I was from a very young age, before I could even talk, I was like making car noises and was just really, really keen on everything with an engine. Like there's photos of me when I was a kid. We had this like Bobcat that was working down the road, and I just sit there for hours watching it. I don't know why. So I don't know where the initial passion came from, but and when I just started school at 5 years old or 6 years old, my friends at the time who I went through kindergarten with, he started go-karts. So I went to watch with my dad a couple of times and basically knew that I had to do this. So my dad got me a go-kart.
Is probably not thanking you very much for doing so well and probably breaking his bank ever since.
Yeah, exactly.
But you you're still young now, but you left New Zealand on your 14th, well, shortly after your 14th birthday to go and race in Australia. And in Australia, the minimum age is 15. So you were good to go. And then you won on debut in F4 at such a young age, probably racing against some drivers that were quite a bit older than you as well. Looking back now, how do you view wins like that? Do you think, Christ, you know, even at that point, I was onto something good?
I guess it was pretty crazy the way everything's happened, even to this point now. Like I remember even going back the year before that, Formula Fords, just after I'd done the year of Formula First and the scholarship program, I was in Formula Ford, and I remember getting my first sponsor was $500 for a month, for 12 months basically. And I remember just being like completely like over the moon with that, and had so many of these. I had like a club 500 where we'd go around giving getting $500 from people, and that's pretty much what made my Formula Ford season possible. And then getting to go to Australia to do F4. It was wet, I think. It was a wet race in Sandown. And I'd done plenty of driving since I was a kid in the rain. My dad used to send me out. I mean, my dad never knew a clue. He didn't have a clue about like engines or driving or anything like that. So, but we did the most testing out of anybody when I was a kid. We were always at the kart track. And he would send me out when it was wet on slicks, basically. And I just drive arounds for ages, would be the only one at the kart track. And he would basically stand on a corner and basically he got it in my head that I had to break where he stood. And basically every lap I'd come past, he'd take a step. So I'd just keep breaking it until I would literally fly off the track and then take a step back. And that's where I had to break. And I did this for ages. It was like something I did for ages. And then, in Formula Ford as well, it was plenty of wet races and they run like semi-slick tires, so really, really slippery. And I absolutely loved it. So I think that's what helps when I went to F4.
An affinity with the wet weather, clearly, thanks to a bit of dodgy tactics, maybe. But hey, you learn, don't you, very quickly if it's stuff like that. You then, though, as we touched on, you went to Europe, 16 years old, I think you were, and you said went to Holland doing ADAC F4. So you say you were living with the VAR team in Holland and the Netherlands. What was that actually like? You know, was that a big sort of step for you? Because I suppose being in Australia is still not too far from home, are you? And then suddenly going straight to Europe, it must be a bit of a culture change, or were you quite happy to just get on with it?
Yeah, so when I was racing in Australia, I was still in school. So despite literally my attendance being 50% that year, that was my last year of school. But I was still doing it. So then the year afterwards, we talked about doing online school potentially. I had a few meetings with teachers about how it was going to work. And in the end, we were just like, for an opportunity this big, I don't want to be one of those guys that's having to study and not be 100% focused on this amazing opportunity that I have. So we called it off. So technically I have no education pretty much. Like I have no qualifications for anything because I left school at 15. I went and lived in Holland for a year. So at the start of the year, I was living with my mum came with me for, I think, two months of that year. And then when she went home, my older sister came over to live with me as well for a little bit. And then my manager as well, Grant McDonald, came over and lived with me as well. And then it was planned that at the last couple of months of that year, my mum would come back over again. But we actually decided, well, I decided that I wanted to experience living on my own. So we basically decided that I'd do the last couple of months of that year on my own. And I sort of, that's where I first experienced living on my own. And
see,
I actually was okay with it. Yeah, exactly. And I was actually, it wasn't so bad. I got into a bit of a routine which is the routine I'm in now, where everybody I talk to from home, my friends, I talk to when I wake up till 11 or 12 in the morning. And then when I have basically the middle of the day where they're all asleep. And then when I go to bed, they all wake up and I get to talk to them again. But it wasn't too bad.
You make this sound very easy, but it's not. I mean, you've moved from the farthest part of the planet to Europe, leaving school at 15 years old. I mean, you've put all your eggs in one basket. There is no backup plan here, is there? I mean, is there a backup plan? Was there ever anything else?
No, there's no backup plan. And it's something that's that for ages, before I went overseas, it was like, you've got to have a backup plan, Liam. And so many people told me you have to have a backup plan. And in the end, it was just like, no, I don't. I never even considered. I've never considered doing anything else. And what's crazy is even from a very young age. Obviously, when you're a kid, you know, you dream of being in Formula One, and obviously nothing's going to really take your mind off that. No one's ever going to convince you that that's not possible. But when you start to get older, you sort of become more realistic about things. But even then, even when I was 13, 14 years old, I met one of my racing heroes, a New Zealand racing hero. I'm not going to name him, but I met him when I was young, and he even told me that when he said, "What do you want to race?" I said, "I want to race Formula One." And he said, "That's not possible. Don't bother." Basically, and even now, I was just like, "I don't care." Like nothing ever took away. I never had any doubt about sort of going to Europe and racing. So and I have no idea why. I don't know why I didn't.
It's that athlete mindset. I mean,
it's all or nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you meet some drivers who do have a backup plan or have something that they want to fall back on. And I guess they do that because deep down they think there's a chance I'm not going to make it here. Whereas you are so determined, like this is it for you. You're going to get to Formula One, and that's the end of it, you know, and you'll do whatever it takes to get there. And I suppose, you know, even worst case scenario, it goes pear-shaped in some capacity. By the time it goes pear-shaped, you're going to have so much experience in motorsport anyway, you're going to have a career one way or another. You know, you're learning the school of life in motorsport. So I think it's amazing. And Harry's sort of cut from the same cloth. You know, Harry knew, has always known exactly what he wants to do. And at such a young age, he's doing what you love doing, aren't you? You know, I didn't realize that I was probably 30 what I wanted to do. So I think it's amazing that you have this tunnel vision from such a young age. So fair play to you. But who's, you mentioned Grant there. He's obviously come over in bits and pieces from New Zealand, helped you out, managed you. Is he your sort of go-to guy for advice, whether it be on or off track exploits?
Yeah, Grant is literally the only reason that I've been able to do anything, to do any of this from when I was... When I left go-karts, I did the Speed Sport Scholarship, which is basically a scholarship to race Formula First or Formula V, I think you guys might call it over here, for a season in New Zealand. And one of the judges on the scholarship program, the day of doing the finals day, was Grant. So I was able to win the scholarship, do the season, and then at the end of the season, when I wanted to obviously carry on and go into Formula Ford and carry on doing stuff, Grant actually left the scholarship program and started going around and finding sponsorship for me, basically to race. So he made my Formula Ford season possible. And since then, it's just been crazy, the growth of, I mean, we now have this huge group of people around us. We ended up for Europe having to set up a company under my name where I have investors who will invest in me, basically. And that was what made racing in Europe possible. And it's crazy, the amounts. What started off with tiny, tiny amounts that at the time were huge, like I said, like $500 sponsorships and things like that, turning into, some serious, like $50,000 to $100,000 investments and sponsorships and things like that to make European racing possible. Is completely crazy how it's happened. And Grant did all of that basically from the start.
Yeah. We see going up through the ranks with a lot of drivers, you know, it is constantly searching for sponsorship. As we all know, money makes the world go round. Money certainly makes motorsport go round. And then it can just suddenly dry up and no longer be there. And a lot of drivers then just can't carry on. But for you, you've got, you know, the ultimate gift in a way and support from Red Bull and being able to join their program when you were 17 years old. So how did that come about? That must have been a bit of a sigh of relief, or was the pressure suddenly ranked up? Because we all know what happens at Red Bull, but, you know, fair play to them. They've put a lot of drivers into Formula One.
Yeah, it's true. And it's something that obviously I was very aware about the different junior programs when I raced. It was when I raced in F4 actually in Germany. but Red Bull was always for sure like the most attractive. I remember when we were testing and a Red Bull driver came to the track, a Red Bull junior. I think it was Jack Doohan actually at the time. And he did a couple of races that year. And I remember just being like, oh my God, this Red Bull driver, like, he's so cool. But it's something I never thought would be never possible for me, but, I couldn't believe it, to get picked up by them. It was from the first season of, the Toyota Racing Series in New Zealand that we got the contract from them. And then, it was right at the point as well where, I'd just done F4, and to do anything else, it was just a crazy step in budget that we, at the time would never been able to afford. So, Red Bull came right at the right time.
It's funny that you say that, you know, seeing another Red Bull driver and being like, oh my God, look at that guy. It definitely does have that effect. Like even when you came to our karting event and you're walking around with your overalls on with Red Bull on the back, you can see people like, oh, look at that guy. That's Liam Lawson, Red Bull driver.
He's legit.
Yeah. You know, it definitely carries that positive stigma. No, that's super cool. Now, before we come on to F2, let's talk a little bit about DTM, a hugely competitive championship. It's one of Harry's favourites. Really close racing, wheel-to-wheel action. You've had wins and podiums. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, loving it, actually. It's something that came out of nowhere for me. Obviously, I'm on the single-seater ladder and have been, and that's where I'm trying to go. So DTM was never something at this point I was, would have ever considered doing. But, I got the call up from Red Bull about it. And basically with the change in car this year going to GTs, there was opportunity for Red Bull to to go into it. And they needed a couple of drivers. And I mean, I was extremely grateful to be chosen as one of them. So it's pretty cool to be able to race in that. For sure, at the start, it was a huge learning curve. I mean, GTs is never something I've done before. So, and it's a completely different driving style from what I'm used to. So transitioning between the two cars at the start was really difficult. I remember I did the first time I transitioned from GTs back to F2 was it was a preseason test, but it was after the first round. We'd already had the first run in Bahrain of F2. It was a Barcelona test in F2. And I remember, I'd driven the car before, so I knew sort of what to expect, but I'd never done it before going back. And when I got back in the F2 car, the first run, the way it works with the Pirelli tire is you normally go out, you do a warm lap, and then you normally have two or three laps of where the tire is good, but it's like push, cool, push, cool, push. You have to, only tires only good for one lap before you have to cool down again. So after my first lap, I did my first push and I was like 3 seconds off on my first lap. And I remember my engineer coming on the radio and being like, 8-10 sector one, 9-10 sector two, and then like 1.2 seconds sector three or something like this. And I was just like, oh my God, how can I be 3 seconds off? And, I thought I did a good lap, and it took half the day to just get back to where I was. And I was like, I'm going to struggle this year. But it got easier the more I did it. And recently I'd done a lot of GT, I did a lot of DTM stuff, and then went to Monza. And basically it's now at the point where, well, at least in Monza, I was able to get straight in it, and we were fine. We had a good quali, and the pace was good all weekend. So, but it definitely took a while to get used to doing the both.
Considering it's, that having to really adapt to two different types of race car, and particularly having never raced a GT car before, the fact you're leading the championship with, how many rounds are there to go? I think there's only just a couple more, isn't there? Yeah, two more rounds to go.
Amazing.
And I think you've got a 10-point lead, is that right? Or something around there. At the time of recording, I'll stress, did you even think possible that you'd be in the championship hunt?
Yeah, it's something at the start of the year, I was like, I had no idea. Always at the start of the year, you go into a championship, like, you don't really, if you're in a good team and you've had probably pre-season testing, sort of where you are. But with this, I was like, I had no idea. I didn't know if I was going to suck in a GT car because I'd never done it before. And with the team, I didn't know. Yeah, I really had no idea. And even in the pre-season tests, everybody's sandbagging around because of the BOP trying to get the best, balance of performance to start the season. So I still had no idea where I was. And then in Monza, we were really fast. So it's been a crazy year. We had a good first couple of rounds, and then it went radically downhill for a couple. And we were like 50 points behind, 49 points behind the leads at one point. And then in two rounds, we just had a crazy couple of rounds, and now somehow are actually leading the thing. So it's been good.
It's a cracking championship. Now let's talk F2, just one level below Formula One. You're backed by Red Bull, you're doing well in your rookie season, you won on debut, things are looking pretty good. Now there have been, as I'm sure you're aware, 9 Kiwi drivers in Formula One in the past. Before we move on, can you name them?
I can't name nine. Okay, I'll name as many as I can.
Go on.
So we have Brendan Hartley, obviously. Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, most recent. Yeah. Denny Holm.
Yeah.
Bruce McLaren.
Yeah.
Chris Amon.
Correct. Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
Give me a second.
So it gets a bit trickier here. Yeah.
You could go onto our quiz leaderboard with this if you get all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to get all of them. I can tell you that right now.
Surely, there's got to be one or two more that are really obvious that I'm missing, right?
There's one who shares a name with a famous rally driver. That's an easy. That gives it away. Surname.
How good's your rally knowledge?
Not very good, clearly.
you're not going to get him, are you? So you've got Bruce McLaren, Chris Amon, Danny Holm, Brennan Hartley. Yeah, there's one. How many was that? One, two, three, four.
Have you got
four?
There? Yeah.
Yeah, you got a few. Okay, I'll give you a couple. So you got Tony Shelley. Don't ask me for any detail on him.
Yeah.
Howden Ganley. Graham McRae, which is a very cute one.
Ah, okay. Yeah, Graham McRae. The rally name. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. John Nicholson and Mike Thackwell.
Mike Thackwell. That was one I knew because he was our most recent, I think, before Brendan. But wow, that's terrible then.
But that's
really bad.
There's some good racing heritage in there though. But
a quick interruption to the show to remind you to check out our sponsor, Rodin Cars. Rodin are a bespoke formula-style supercar manufacturer based in New Zealand. With their vehicle offering, this is the only place where you can truly live the F1 lifestyle. With the easy to run, easy to maintain, and even easier to drive Rodin FZ, you can live the dream of hunting down those final tenths of lap time whilst being fully supported by the team at Rodin, who will provide you with after-sale care, storage options, exclusive use of their incredible track in New Zealand, and courtesy of Formula Racing Team High Tech Grand Prix will run, set up and maintain your vehicle on and off the track. The Rodin FZ is a vehicle like no other, perfect for any true car aficionado in search for that elite performance. To find out more, head to rodin-cars.com.
We talked about this a little bit last time we saw you, but you know, it's all looking pretty good, isn't it? Isn't it about time we saw a Kiwi make it all the way back into Formula One?
I hope so. I really hope so. It's something that when I was younger, my original racing hero was Lewis Hamilton. And then when I got old enough to like understand more about GP2 and GP3, it was Mitch Evans and Richie Stanaway in those championships. And I remember watching them. Mitch got really, really close. To be fair, had a couple of really good. I mean, won GP3 and then he got really unlucky in GP2. Yeah. But had a good go at it. And yeah, I remember just really, really wanting them to make it. So I hope I can do it. But still a long way to go. As much as F2 is, you know, the step below F1, it's still a huge step. And I mean, as you can see this year, there's a lot of us in F2. A lot of drivers who should, you know, could be going there, but there's just no seats right now. Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's hope it'll come. But you've driven something which some might say is similar to an F1 car. You're working with Rodin Cars and have a partnership with them. They're obviously a new New Zealand brand, and I haven't seen one of their cars up close yet, but I've seen a lot of content about them, and we've got the FZ, which looks like a ridiculous machine. Just tell us a little bit about your partnership with Rodin and perhaps a little bit more about their business.
Yeah, so David Decker, who owns and started Rodin Cars, I met probably 4 or 5 years ago. It was at the end of my Formula 4 season in Australia. Yep, I had a shootout actually in America, which I kind of forgot about a little bit, but I actually went and did the Road to Indy shootout, and I'd won it as a ticket from winning Formula Ford. In New Zealand. And basically before I went there, through some other contacts, we found out that David had the track, and you know, outside of his house, and that he had a Formula 3, as you do. And he had a Formula 3 car, that he had available that, you know, he let me basically go and do laps, to get sort of race fit for the shootout. And I went down there and I just remember being completely amazed by this. And you should see how far it's come even now from when I went there the first time. But I remember at the time just being amazed by it. I had basically 2 days of just doing as many laps as I liked, basically with no limits to what I did. He had two layouts of the track. He had this top track and his bottom track. And it was literally like, you want to do the top track now? Yeah, we'll do that. And then I'll do some of the bottom track. And it was so, so cool. And basically from there, every time I was in New Zealand, he's let me go down there and test in his cars. And it's been really, really good. And then this year, we were able to form more of a partnership with David and with Roden Cars. And now they've come on board for F2. And he's now right at the point where the FZ is sort of ready now, pretty much to be sold. And I've been able to test it, and it's, yeah, freaking awesome.
Yeah, how does the FZ compare to an F2 and an F1 car that, you know, you've done some testing in previously? I mean, because it's not a car that's just for racing drivers, is it? But also, having tested it, how do you describe it?
Yeah, so we actually did a comparison earlier in the year, like in January, I think we did, between a 2010 GP2 car. So with the old V8s, the Screamer, which is probably pretty similar to this year's F2 car, honestly. It wouldn't be far off, because this year's car is a lot heavier. So, and the FZ was considerably faster. Around a really short circuit, it was a 45-second lap. It was like one and a half seconds faster. So on a big track, that's a good couple of seconds. And yeah, it's really, really cool. It sounds, you know, like a Formula One car. It's obviously a V8 as well. But it's basically really sort of... The difference between a GP2 or an F2 car and this is you feel everything is much, much more, I have to say, but like better designed. You know, everything works really, really well. Feels really, really nice. The car is really easy to drive actually as well, which I was surprised about. I did a test in Donington this year, and I was surprised by how easy it was to drift, like to slide out of like lower speed corners. You could really, you had complete control over it. It was really, really nice. The balance was nice. And it's really quick as well. So the downforce is also really, really good. So I was well impressed with it.
Yeah, they're incredible looking machines. And if you've got some spare change, you can go and get one, and you can drive it round a racetrack if you feel so inclined. So I think it's slightly out of our budget, Harry, but for our more deeper pocketed listeners, go out and get yourself a Roden Cars FZ, and you won't be disappointed. Now I was trawling the internet looking for bits and pieces on you to chat about, and before we started talking. And there's a really funny video of you and Alex Albon going around the Nürburgring. What's it like to go out there flat out? It's an insane circuit. That must have been a lot of fun.
It was my first time going around the actual Nordschleife. Like I've been to Nürburgring for a couple of years now, but we never did the actual the big circuit. And I don't know if technically, I think it's fine to say it now, but I didn't know at the time. It's illegal to go around in your rental cars, but that's what we did basically the first time. So after me and Alex had our rentals. Alex had a Citroen C3. It was terribly slow.
Yes.
And I had the lowest, the base of the basic Volkswagen Golf. So like 100, probably like less than 100 horsepower, maybe Volkswagen Golf. And we took these things on the Nordschleife, and the first lap we basically called each other and put it on like through the carb and the Bluetooth. And just sat on a voice call for this whole lap. And it was just, honestly, we were just both crying the whole lap. It was hilarious to race around. I mean, we were keeping up. There was like these, I mean, there's so many people there with their like track day cars. And I was keeping up with this BMW M2. And I was actually through like, I mean, when we get to a straight, they take off. But through this twisty stuff, we were all over them. And every single person that came past us, every single one of them's like, looking at us like this as they come past. It was so funny. It was so much fun.
You're keeping up with an M2 in your rental.
Yeah. And I'm Volkswagen Golf.
Oh, my word.
That is... Oh, hello. Sorry, I knocked my microphone. I'll edit that bit out. That is insane. Well, talking of microphone setups, there we go. Nice segue, actually. You are in your Twitch setup there. You do a lot of streaming. How's that? How regular do you do that? Because, you know, it feels like every driver, is the new generation, isn't it, really, of drivers? It's all about, you know, live streaming and playing online. That must be a good way to unwind as well for you.
Yeah, it is cool. It's really cool. It's something that's, over the last couple of months, I've been too busy to do too much of, but it's something I plan on doing a lot more of when I have time off. But it's something that I didn't realize until I did it for the first time, how cool it is to actually interact with, you know, with your fans and viewers and stuff like that. Cause everybody's can chat and ask you questions in the chat, and to play games as well with your friends. It's a lot of fun. So, I do plan on doing a lot more of it.
Now, I'm assuming you don't drive a bog standard Golf on the road, or maybe you do.
I literally do. My road car is a Volkswagen Golf.
Is it really?
To be fair, Golf's a classic car.
Oh, it's okay.
It's good.
It's a good car. I just kind of imagined a Formula 2 driver to have like a Golf GTI.
Most of them do. Most of them have like, I know a lot of guys have BMW M4s and things like this. But the Golf's good. Handle's good as well, actually.
It's great for the roundabouts in Milton.
Yeah, Milton Keynes roundabouts. Perfect.
Perfect. All right. Well, we know, Liam, what you're obviously very good at in terms of racing round tracks. What are you terrible at?
Cooking. Really bad at cooking. So the one thing I can make quite well, because I've done a lot of them this year, is an omelette. In many different ways. But honestly, that's as far as it goes, really. I can't make anything.
What's your go-to omelets? Ham and cheese?
Yeah, ham and cheese, or I normally put spinach in there as well to try and keep it healthy.
Yeah.
And sometimes like special ham, either parma ham or pancetta, I think it's called as well.
Yeah.
In there, and then cheese. With spinach, what else do I use? Chorizo sometimes as well.
Love a little block of chorizo
in there. Yeah, really, that's good.
And thank God you don't call it chorizo, like some of those penises. When someone says that to me, I honestly just want to headbutt them.
Who said that? I've never heard that.
You've never heard, like, the people who, they're sort of just chatting away and they'll mention chorizo, and they'll call it chorizo. It's like, who do you think you are? You're not Rick Stein, mate.
But that's because it's like the same with, I always looked at people funny when they called Ibiza, because apparently it's pronounced, the way you pronounce a Z in, is it Spanish? Wait. Or is Z is like TH, is th.
Ibiza.
So how do you say it?
Ibiza. I would say.
I say
the Z.
I can't even say it now.
I would say Ibiza.
Ibiza, yeah. Ibiza.
But it's spelled Ibiza. So why would you say it Ibiza?
That's the thing. I mean, Tim, this comes back on you, because actually, I would say chorizo, but I feel like if you're in the country where chorizo comes from, you would probably say chorizo.
No, I concur, Harry. But what I don't like is English people.
English, yeah.
Who try and sound like they're all in the lingo.
I just don't like English people.
I'm just going to whip up some noodles and this and that, and I'm going to make it with a bit of chorizo.
Add a bit of chorizo.
Oh, shut up. And
Ibiza is a funny one, though. We'll have to do a little poll on that, because, I mean, I get what you're saying. It is spelled, obviously, Ibiza, but I think, didn't Seat make a car? Seat.
Yes.
It's the Seat Ibiza.
Yes.
My brother had that when he was about 18, and I bought it in Ibiza. Yeah. Classic.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the other one is the racetrack. I would say Jerez.
Jerez.
They call it Jerez.
Jerez. Yeah.
Jerez. How could you get Jerez from Jerez, the way it's spelled? I don't get it.
It's true.
Yeah. Jerez, Jerez. It wasn't until I started hearing other people say it that I realized I was either saying it wrong.
There's lots like that, like Paul Rickard. You never say the D, Paul Rickard.
Paul Rickard.
I never say Paul Rickard. Do you say Paul Rickard?
I say Paul Rickard.
I would say Paul Rickard. Yeah.
Oh, Paul Rickard, yeah. He's going off
the bench. That kid, Paul Rickard. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Paul Rickard.
I feel like with this randomness that this is...
You anglicise it, don't you?
You do.
If you're from England or whatever the other way around is. Yeah. But
you do.
Yeah.
But with this kind of weird conversation, this feels like a good opportunity to ask Liam whether he preferred to be covered in scales or feathers.
Yeah, go for it.
What would you choose?
Wait, what? If I would be preferred to be covered in
feathers, like head to toe in feathers, which means you could probably fly, or scales, which would make you an incredible swimmer, and you could probably get really fast underwater.
So, is the question actually, would I rather fly or swim really fast, or is it would I?
You could take it like that, I suppose, but it depends what you. I mean, who knows what you could do with scales?
Feathers for sure. I mean, scales would be weird.
Slimy.
Yeah, feathers would be so much better. Feathers are soft. Feathers are what we sleep with.
Soft.
That's true. You'd be, it'd be more comfortable.
Yeah.
Very much more comfortable. Be fair. And I feel like, I don't know, if you've got scales, don't you have to be like, aren't scales normally mean you're like cold-blooded as well? Or is that, is that a thing? I don't know, maybe. Yeah, I'll leave that up to somebody else to judge.
Oh, do you mean like what my body is made out of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you meant just covered. Like just
no.
Covered in feathers or scales. Like, why would you chuck some scale? Okay, I still rather feathers.
Still rather, yeah. Still doesn't change the answer.
I'm enjoying it.
Okay, let's get back to maybe something slightly more normal. I don't know. We discussed what you're terrible at cooking. Do you have any hidden talents though?
It's not so much anymore. But I used to play guitar like a lot. So from when I was 8 years old till about 14. No, 15. Yeah, I studied exams every single year. So I do the exam was called RGT, like London School of Music, and every year they'd have an instructor, a teacher from London, come to New Zealand to basically do these tests, and you'd sit these exams with them. And I did it every single year up until I was 14. So there's 8 grades. Grade 8 is literally like the final grade, is I guess as good as it gets, and I actually finished grade 7 with distinction. And I was studying grade 8 when I stopped. But I used to play guitar a lot.
You should pick that back up. Brendan Hartley plays guitar.
A lot of people do, actually. Yeah. Like a lot of people. But I mean, I enjoyed it. The thing I always enjoyed more was the exams were quite stressful because
you have to do loads of other stuff, don't you? Like sight read and
There's theory. There's theory behind it. There's lots of like playing scales and the learning scales. Pieces, which were a lot of stuff like that. You'd have to. What were some other things you had to do in the exam? You'd have to like stuff like you'd have to tell what sort of timing things were, and
all
you'd
the
have
boring to stuff.
Repeat back. It was just a lot of stress, but I enjoyed more playing with my mates and things like that. So when I'm home, I still do that. So I can still play like basic stuff, but
that's cool. You should pick that back up.
I should.
We talked about New Zealand at the beginning. What a country. I mean, I've been there several times. I love it. If you could literally lasso New Zealand and drag it across to Europe, I'd live there in a heartbeat. First of all, there is nowhere on the planet in my eyes that comes close to it, but what's your favorite part of New Zealand?
Queenstown, probably. I would say it's something that I never actually went to until a couple of years ago. But I think what made it so special for me is when my first season of the Toyota Racing Series. The cool thing about it is over those 5 weeks, everybody that's there, you travel like all over the country because you start in Highlands. Well, I did at least start in Highlands, which is close to Queenstown. Then you go to Invercargill, which is the bottom of the South Island. Then you go to Auckland, Taupo, and then to Palmerston North, which is the bottom of the North Island. So you go all over the country, and you pretty much see the best bits of it. So when I did the first year, I spent like 2 weeks, nearly a week and a half in Queenstown. Basically just fell in love with that part of New Zealand. So yeah, I absolutely love it. Going on holiday there is my favorite thing to do. Did you do... Milford Sound.
Did all of that. Queenstown as well. Love Queenstown. Did the Nevis bungee there, which I wish I'd never done.
Is that on the bridge?
It's the one, this sort of cable car in between two mountains, basically.
Oh my God, you did that?
Yeah, and it's something like a 7-second free fall, and I thought, this is it, I'm dead. Like something's gone wrong.
Oh my God.
And the ground comes towards you so fast. It's quite a rocky riverbed. I just remember seeing these rocks getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I was thinking, this has gone horribly wrong. This is going to be all over the news.
Really?
I'm dead. And you hear horror stories. I did it years ago. And you hear horror stories about people's eyes freaking coming out of their heads, and you know, I was terrified. But it was fine. I bounced back up, obviously, and it was all right.
But you had your eyes open for that. I don't think I could open my eyes for that kind of thing. They'd be shut the whole way.
It's a horrible experience. I've done the swing. I've done all of them, and I hate them.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it again.
Why do you keep doing them?
A glutton for punishment. Easily led. I just followed the crowd. So other people did it. I was like, yeah. It wasn't fun. But yeah, it's a beautiful country. I mean, I've got brothers and sisters out there, and it's just, it is. Have you been, Harry?
I've never been. It's on my to-do list. Like New Zealand and Australia, I'd love to go to that part of the world.
Get out there and commentate on the Toyota series. It's just... Hey,
they'll have me. I'll do it.
They will. I'm sure they will. Honestly, when I get asked this question, like, what's your favourite place to go? What's your favourite part of the world so far that you've travelled? And every single time, it's still New Zealand. I still miss home the most, that's for sure.
It's stunning.
Have you ever done a bungee jump, Liam? Then have you done that? Or
I've never done a bungee jump. All my sisters have as well, and I haven't done it.
I think
I'm the only one in my family that hadn't done it. So never jumped out of a plane either. My girlfriend's done that, and I haven't. So I need to.
Get a bloody plane and get on with it. Red Bull have got Red Bull have got their own plane.
I don't know if you saw the recent video. We do a lot of cool stuff with DTM with Red Bull, and I did some stunt plane stuff, doing flips and over the Red Bull ring, and I actually flew the plane a little bit as well. So that was pretty cool.
I'm surprised Red Bull let you do that. I just think, would Red Bull let you do a bungee jump? I suppose they would. They're, you know, extreme sports and all that.
Yeah, there is stuff that I'm technically not meant to do, but...
I'll do it anyway.
I don't know about bungee. Yeah, I'd have to go back through my contract, honestly.
Yeah. Have a skim read of it tonight.
Yeah.
Right, well, Liam, we are rapidly making our way towards the end of the podcast, but what we like to do with all of our guests is we like to ask them a final three questions, and because you are the first show of our brand new season, we're in partnership with Roding Cars, so our final three is brought to you by Roding Cars. Tim, would you like to ask the first one?
Yes, indeed. What's got you excited at this very moment?
What's got me excited at this very moment?
Yeah, right now. What are you excited about?
Is it omelette for dinner tonight, or
what am I excited about right now?
That's thrown.
I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited for race this weekend. I'm not excited for the travel part of it because I don't enjoy
that
the travel.
That sounds stressful as well. Yeah. Going to Russia in this kind of
weekend,
climate.
Especially. Yeah, the Russia trip's always quite a mission. But the question was what I'm excited about. I'm excited to race. I'm excited to be back in the car. I would say that's
Yeah.
Nice. Well, then, secondly, what are you scared of?
I'm scared of a lot of things. Spiders, like some spiders I absolutely hate. They freak me out.
Good man. Good man.
I would say, yeah, probably spiders.
Creepy crawlies.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because you come from that side of the world where they don't do spiders by halves.
No, but New Zealand is not that bad. Like it's not. When I went there last, was it there? I've never seen anything too terrifying in New Zealand.
We don't have anything. It's Australia that's got everything that wants to kill you. Honestly, like snakes, spiders, bears. Wait, they don't have bears. I don't think they do, but New Zealand has absolutely nothing. We have the white-tailed spider, which is it doesn't really do much. I mean, it gives you a serious bite, but that's literally it.
Doesn't kill
sharks.
You.
No, it doesn't kill you.
Yeah, sharks.
Okay,
you have sharks.
Interesting.
It's also a bit of a misconception that the weather is amazing in New Zealand. It's not that great either. Like I've spent quite a lot of time in New Zealand, and it gets really, really hot. But it's quite, because it's a mountainous small island like the UK, it attracts cloud.
Yeah.
Land of the long white cloud. You know, it's not called that for nothing. Yeah. Final question for you. Favourite racing destination on your F2 calendar?
Oh, my F2 calendar, Monaco. Yeah, Monaco.
Monaco.
Sure.
Okay.
That was amazing to drive that place.
It must have been your first time, Monaco?
Yeah.
My
first time there. It was amazing. We had a wet race that I've been disqualified from now, but at the time we won.
Weekend, was it? Yeah.
No, it wasn't. But it was that race, even with what happened, even still, it was an amazing race around that track. It was so cool.
Yeah, no, it's, you can really feel the history there. Brilliant. It's flown by. That's 48 minutes, literally in the blink of an eye. Liam, fantastic talking to you. What a top bloke you are. Very
Thank
funny. We wish you all the best for the rest of the season. By the time this goes out, you'll have done Russia. So let's see how things go. But all the best. Red Bull, fantastic. Rodin, all brilliant stuff. We'll hopefully see you at a paddock soon. We'll hopefully see you at the next Motormouth karting event, which is going to happen this year. So we'll be tapping you up in,
absolutely,
in November for a winter race, sliding all over the place with a bunch of amateurs. We'll keep you on your toes. but seriously, thank you so much for spending the time with us, and good luck for the rest of the year, and we'll see you trackside soon.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Before you go, one final reminder to check out Rodin Cars. Forget a one-off experience. With Rodin and the Rodin FZ, you can become and live the life of an elite performance driver. With your very own Rodin FZ, you'll be able to drive a truly remarkable supercar. Hunt down lap time and search for ultimate performance. A solo cockpit, but never alone. With Rodin's incredible after-sale partnership, you'll be looked after on and off track with an official Formula Racing team running and maintaining your vehicle. And as an exclusive owner of a Rodin car, you'll get exclusive access to their circuit in New Zealand. So, what are you waiting for? To find out how you can own the F1 lifestyle, find the perfect racing line, enjoy the thrill of a roaring engine, and experience the purity of driving, visit rodin-cars.com. Thank you so much for listening to the Motormouth podcast. Do make sure you give us a follow on our socials, Twitter at Motormouth _, Instagram at Motormouth _official, and Facebook, just search Motormouth. You can also download the Motormouth app, where you can get exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile to interact with other fans, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy. We're also proud to be supporting the Brain Tumor Charity too, so make sure you check the links in the podcast description to find out how you can help cure brain tumors quicker. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review, and until next time, you've been listening to the Motormouth podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.